Welcome to Toffee Blue View, your source for all things Everton. I am Jerry. Joining me today, I have Terry and a new face or voice, if you're listening via podcast, Jordan is here. Jordan, welcome, man.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
So, Jordan, where are you talking to us? Well, from where are you talking to us, if I'm going to use proper speech?
Liverpool, England.
Ah, I've heard of this.
Yeah, a place called Dotty Ash, about 4 miles away from Goodison Park.
Oh my God, that's awesome. The idea of being able to walk, just, yeah, or take a bike. I mean, damn, you could probably take a Segway if you wanted to. That's ridiculous. If you, for some reason, you're not watching the game on the television, you can just put your window down and tell what's going on. That's crazy. So Jordan, talk to us a little bit. How long you been an Everton supporter? I mean, from living where you are, I would assume it's a while.
Yeah, well, I'm 30 now. Just turned 30. Been an Everton supporter all my life, really. You know, you follow your dad, don't you? And, I got a season ticket the year after we won the FA Cup, so it's probably my fault we haven't won that.
We always find ways to blame ourselves, don't we? Yeah. I think that's kind of the syndrome of the Everton supporter. Yeah. We're all jinxing it every time. Like, I'm like, no, I can't go to the bathroom yet. It's the first half hasn't ended. You know, I got to wait till the half's over. I can't miss. Oh, they scored and it's my fault because I was pissing. Damn. So, yeah, it's really not my fault. But, of course, my son blames me. But so, Jordan, what do you do? Like, what's your real life like apart from Toffee Blue stuff?
Well, I'm a welder. I was an apprentice there when I was like 16, and I've just carried on. But I like to do writing outside of work, and my main goal really is to actually be a writer. But this is like, I wanted to be it when I was when I left school and that, and it sort of went to the back of my mind, and like the last year or two, I've really got right back into it. So I'm enjoying writing for the Toffee Blues and that, but it's something I really want to do. I'm looking on maybe going on a course to do it as well. You know, well, I will be at some point.
So is it mainly football writing you want to do?
No. I do, like, my main thing is films, and I've got a little Instagram page on the side and stuff, but I want to get a blog going and stuff. But I do love Everton as well, so I think I'm quite a little bit knowledgeable about Everton and stuff. So I do like to do the articles on Everton as well.
So just a quick question, because I'm going to try to be plugging you at the end of every segment we do. Your Instagram is film reviews, right?
Yeah.
And so, well, that's the kind of writing do you want to do? Do you want to write about film, or do you want to write screenplay type of stuff?
No. It's mainly like reviews and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I want to get into like writing about certain, like, say I could explore Tarantino, if you get me, and just write a big article on him and stuff, and all different things really. But it's not like film production or screenplay or nothing right. Like that.
Oh, story. So it's sort of like film review is what it normally sounds like. That's film criticism. Essentially.
Yeah, basically. Yeah,
awesome. And what's your Instagram? What's the Instagram page called?
It's George_movie_reviews.
So that's JORD_.
No, JORDS.
JORDS. Yes, I wrote that down. I didn't say it. What's wrong with me? JORDS_
movie_reviews.
Views. Okay, cool. So Jordan, just as an aside, I went to film school here in town, at North Carolina School of the Arts, and studied film directing. So yeah, we will definitely have to find a way to talk movies soon. And because Terry and I watch a lot of the same stuff. So yeah, we're gonna have to go on some huge tangents soon.
That's great stuff.
Terry, Terry, we got to open this up to you, because, you know, Terry's been around. for a while. He's the mainstay. He's the guy at the end of the bar, you know. What do you, Terry? Do you have questions for Jordan?
Yeah, obviously, man after my own heart. Like Tarantino films, he'll fit right in on the Toffee Blues, won't he? Let's be honest. My only question is, what's your favourite Tarantino film?
It's gonna come across as probably the popular answer, but it's Pulp Fiction. When I first seen that film, I watched it again straight after. I couldn't believe how good it was.
That's mine too. You know. I'm big on that and Reservoir Dogs, which are the old school ones. You know what I mean? Like those are the early ones, and for some reason I lock into those because I don't know. I feel like when he got to Kill Bill, he started sort of doing a formula thing with a lot of his films. You know what I mean? Where he's kind of doing a lot of the same stuff with each one, and I liked when he was sort of reinventing himself in ways. You know what I mean? Which you could say he did that with Kill Bill, right? Because he did all this orgy of excess. Yes. Huge. He was like, I remember him saying, he was like, I just wanted to push myself in every way possible, so I used all the blood. You know, it's just, it's hilarious to hear him talk about it. I'm really excited. I've heard really good things about the new one. Really good stuff.
I think you've got it a bit earlier than us. It doesn't release over there until the 15th, I think, or the 14th of August.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, though. If I go to a movie, I'm lucky if it's, you know, not rated G with my kids. I did get to go see Midsommar with my buddy Kyle, who is you know, my buddy and our editor. Yeah, that was phenomenal. If you like scary movies, so good.
I love Hereditary, but I haven't seen that one yet.
Dude, it's so good. Oh my god, Terry, if you like the scary stuff, I don't know if you do though. I feel like I remember you not liking scary movies.
No, I'm a bit of an bit of a scaredy cap, stuff like that. So I don't bother with the horror films. To be honest, I don't think I've seen good ones. I remember liking, when I was younger, like Evil Dead 2. Okay.
Those are the fun ones.
I think that's probably why, because it's not that scary. It's fun. But no, I'm not a horror guy. I just don't like jump scares and stuff like that, so I give it a miss.
Well, these are You're about what you're about to say. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, one's pretty, you know, up there for quality. Like,
it's like somebody, a really good character director, decided to start making scary, like, horror movies. It's really brilliant art. It's just really good art. I was lucky to see that in the theater. And Hereditary before that is also phenomenal.
Yeah.
Really good stuff.
It's a clever horror. It's not just a jump scare one. Hereditary, that's what I prefer. Like, bit of thought into it.
As long as I almost prefer it if it can work on another level as another genre. You know what I mean? Like a lot of the best stuff, it's multiple, layers. Terry, I accidentally jumped in. What's your favorite Tarantino before we move on?
Inglourious Basterds. It used to be Pulp Fiction, but Inglourious Basterds is probably my favorite. I just love every minute of the film. It's just so good.
That opening scene, dude. That opening scene.
The opening scene. Yeah, it's brilliant.
It's probably Tarantino's best scene, I think.
So good. It's so good. Me and Kyle talk about the opening scene all the time. Oh, my gosh.
It's not even like Tarantino's best scene. It's just Christoph Waltz. It's just so... Talk about scary. He's scary in that. And he's not even like... It's just how intimidating and how everything about the scene is just perfect. It's... Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. I might have to watch it when we finish recording.
Just watch that one scene. Oh, so good. Anyway, we have turned this into a film podcast, which I think some are totally fine with that. But hey, the point was to get to know Jordan some more, and that's what's going to happen, apparently. I'm down with that. So everybody, welcome Jordan. You don't have to say it out loud. He can't actually hear you, or can he? So, just a really quick sum up for everyone, for podcasters, exactly what is happening on this particular episode. We're going to have to delve into the transfer window right now, because I feel like we sort of have to every single episode now. It's nearing the end. It's almost over. Right now, you know, it's like Marcel Bronze is, you know, He's hitting his stride right now. You know, there's a reason why there is a picture of my shoulder and a candle burning for the man. All right? Just saying. Yeah. All right? He is in his element, duck to water, all that stuff. So we're going to talk a little bit about center backs because Joyce came out and Joyce has spoken, the prophet, and he has said that we're looking to center back next. All right? And so we're going to talk about center backs and what that situation is. Hashtag free Zuma. Yeah, that happened normally the first time. All right, so then we're going to talk a little bit about the preseason review, the winners and losers of the preseason. Frankly, if you watched every minute of the preseason, you might be the loser on the list because, doggone it, it's been pretty unbearable. But we're going to talk about the players and any players that made some progress and possibly any that slid backward and some that were just out there to be put on the shelf. To be purchased, hopefully, by someone. So, and then we're going to end with a quiz. Price is Right quiz. Jordan's never done a quiz with us, and so Terry loves the new folks that come in. And what happened last time, Terry? There was a new person on the pod for a quiz.
Yeah, I got a thorough ass whooping.
I didn't even mean to reference that, and then I realized it was tumbling out of my mouth. I was like, oh, no. Oh, Terry.
Like on the old fighting games where you beat someone and you don't land a blow and it says perfect when they... That's what he put over me. It wasn't even like KO, it was perfect.
It was a strong performance, let's put it that way. And I felt the need to hug Terry through the screen. It'll be okay. So anyway, let's go talk about transfer window, center backs. Who will we sign? Who should we sign? Who do we sign? How's this going to work out? Recently, some more information came out that we're still interested in Zuma. For those of you who've been living under a rock. Not the best real estate, first of all. There's my advice to you. But basically, he was on loan with us last year. And I think everybody can say, as far as center backs go, one of our, I think our strongest center back performer of last season, by the end of the season, I think all of us were just not wanting to imagine this season without him. Which is still, now, last podcast, I was pretty sold on the fact that we weren't getting him. All the vibes I was getting was that it's not happening. And then more noise came out. Awesome. That's great. So, Jordan, let's talk a little bit about Zuma, just because he's the name on everybody's lips about... he may be our guy. What do you think about that?
To me, he's number one priority for the centre-half. I've done an article for the website a few months back, and I said our priorities... keep Garner, get a striker, and get Zuma. Like, Garner's obviously gone, but two out of three mightn't be bad. So we need to get him. It's just he fits in perfectly. He knows Marco Silva, what Marco Silva wants. He slots next to Keane. It's just a no-brainer for me. We need to get him, and that's the end of it.
What do you think about all this recent, I'm not asking you to be one of these, ITK unicorns, and I'm not asking you to be, you know, a mystic here or anything, but, as far as the vibe you're getting from all the words that are coming out on social media and all that nonsense, do you think he's actually going to be coming back? Do you think Chelsea are actually going to let him go?
I don't know, because... When he came out the other week and said it might be where I'm staying. And Lampard sort of said, oh yeah, he's a great player and stuff. But since Paul Joyce tweeted that, I'm thinking there's something in it that we're going to get him. And I would not be surprised if we do get him. I think you look at his Instagram, he likes everything Everton put up. You know what I mean? And I think I personally think he does want to come back here. I mean, the last few friendlies Chelsea have played, he hasn't really started the games. I mean, I don't really look too much into friendlies, but when I look at Everton's last few, they've started with the strongest team. And Chelsea, if they're doing that, Zuma's on the bench. I mean, he might just be giving them an half and half, I don't know, but because Silva's been starting with his strongest, are Chelsea doing that as well and not starting him? So maybe you might think, oh, I'm not a regular starter here. I mean, it's only a friendly. You can't look too much into it.
Right. It's tough. Yeah, because recently I definitely thought he was staying. And then this, but the thing that gets me is you haven't heard a lot of other names, have you? You haven't. There's been like hardly any others.
The only one I've heard, which was today really, is Llorente from Sociedad. That might be the alternative. But this fella was signed, Guavarman. I know he can play centre-half as well. I don't know if... I know he's not going to be our... I know he's nice and bought him as a centre-back, but he could sort of be a backup one with Jags going.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul Joyce has also said he's coming. He wants a centre-back, so I think he might use him as a backup one, but I think he's obviously definitely looking for a centre-back, isn't he? But the only two names, really, I'd have heard are Zouma and Llorente.
Yeah, that was the thing that kind of, you know, recently when I saw that there was some links to him again, to Zouma again, I was thinking, well, you know, nobody else has been mentioned. Maybe this isn't as dead as I thought it was. I was kind of giving myself reality checks. Like, you know, don't pine for a player. I've gone through that too many times. Every Everton again has gone through that too many times. You know, and there are other good players out there. There are. You know what I mean? There's other good value out there. And if we don't get him, I guarantee Marcel Brands and Silva will figure something out and we'll be okay. Everything will be fine. You know, it's just, he already knows us. He knows the people and it seems like he wants to be here, you know?
Yeah, so, that's the thing. He'll just fit in perfect. That's another centre half from another league is maybe a little bit of a risk, but Zouma just fits in and it's a no brainer for me. I mean, it's just whether Chelsea play hardball, isn't it? But for Joyce to come out and say that, there's got to be something in it.
Terry's just been the quiet storm over there, just holding pat. But you know, there's something raging inside. What exactly? How are you feeling about all this, Terry? What do you think's going to happen? What do you think's going on?
I think we'll get him now. I had, like yourself, Jerry, accepted that he wasn't probably going to come because of what Zouma himself said, what Lampard said. But ever since Joyce said, negotiations are still ongoing regarding Kurt Zouma. And then on top of that as well, like George said, there's been no links to many other players until maybe even today. I think it's just a matter of how much we pay for him. I think the big picture wise, they've sent him out 2 years running on loan. The only reason they're even considering him now is because they've got a transfer ban. Zouma's got to look past this season as well and go, well, next season, not this one coming, the one after. A, Lampard might not even be here. B, even if he is still here and the transfer ban's lifted, I could be way down the pecking order again and Everton have moved on and I can't get this great move that I've, you know, sort of developed an understanding at the club and I'm loved there and so on. We might come out the market for him in a year's time. So I think Zouma does want to come. He's not the type of guy, not the type of player who's going to rock the boat, obviously. We know that from having him here. He's a professional. But I just think we're negotiating with Chelsea. We know Marcel Brands likes to, you know, he will take the time if it means he gets the price down. He's done it a few times already with players even this window. But this is Chelsea. Chelsea are no slouches. This is obviously going to be this may be the biggest fee we've paid since Brands came in, because we're buying from another Premier League club who play hardball themselves. Who are, you know, I don't think the Brands magic will have such an impact on Chelsea as it has on other clubs, who are more desperate for the money. Because, you know, for example, Juventus wanted the money for Moise Kean, because they've got all the plans of themselves. Chelsea have got no plans. They can't. So they don't need this doing. They can happily not have it happen and just let the player, you know, see where he ends up. So I don't think we'll get it down to the, you know, reduced rate that he's done with the other signings. We'll probably end up paying upwards of 40 million. I don't think the Harry Maguire deals really helped us either, because it set a precedent.
Literally the next thing I was going to talk about, Terry, I was like, how is that? I mean, who would you rather have as a starting center back, and then think about the prices being mentioned, and something's weird about it.
This is it. I actually don't even have a problem with Maguire going for that. Not now. It's the transfer system, you know, prices haven't made sense for a while. It's just the seller's market. It's just not a buyer's market, especially from Premier League clubs. But that won't have helped Brands' position to try and get the price down. I think Kurtzuma will come back, but we will pay a large amount to get him. And it, ultimately, the manager and the sporting director have both shown since they've been here very consistently that they want their targets. They don't want to compromise and go for second and third choices. So they may just think, well, he's worth that to us. We're going to build with him. We're going to build around him. He's part of this vision we've got. May have to just tuck it up and pay the money. But I do think it'll happen now, because if it's dead and when they're not going to sell, why would we still be talking to them? If someone came in for Richarlison and we would have had no intention of selling him, especially a club who, you know, can't bully him off us. You know, like if a big team came in, then we might have a problem. But say a team from lower down the league came in for one of our players and we didn't want to sell them, would we still be talking to them weeks and months down the line if we had no interest in selling? No, you'd be negotiating a price. If it was not on the table, you'd just tell them to leave. That's it. No, nothing else to discuss. We're still in discussion, so it's not off the table.
Guys, this question is for both of you. Let's say, you know, because Maguire, the price is like 85 or something, which is and like you said, Terry, yeah, the market's been just absolutely just, you know, crazy balls for a few years now. But still, what if that puts Zuma's price, even with Bronze being the magic man that he is, what if that puts Zuma's price at around 50? Is that worth it at that point?
I don't think so, but I think they will still pay that. I think that, you know, there'd be caveats within that. They pay, you know, some up front, some down the line, incentive based, but they obviously really like the player and see him as crucial to the plans. And it can't be underestimated as well that if we get everything our own way this window, we're going to buy 7 players. If we get Zuma, that 2 of them will have already been here, so there won't be as much upheaval as there was last time when we, you know, brought a massive influx of players in. If Zuma comes in, he immediately goes into the first team, doesn't need to bed in, like, you know, Moise Kean and Gavanen are probably gonna need to, and the things that Chelsea can turn around and tack, you know, premium on for are quite, you know, numerous in this deal. So I think the club are gonna have to just, I think they will end up paying somewhere in that region, because the Maguire deal has probably hurt our position in the sense of, well, he's not worth X, Y, and Z. They could turn around and say, well, he is, because, you know, Maguire's not that much better than Zuma. I think Zuma's better than Maguire, personally. But the common belief is that he's not. So that, much like it's helped us in the past, we've sold players for more than they were worth, because similar players went for large prices elsewhere. When Man City bought Scott, they had to pay more because Glenn Johnson had just been bought for a high price. But it's working against us in this instance, I think.
Jordan, what are you thinking about that? If we're having to pay 50 or upwards for Zuma.
Yeah, like Teddy said, it's the Maguire deal hasn't helped us at all. But maybe they were asking around that region anyway, and that's why it took so long. I think if they were asking for 30, we might have got him by now. But I reckon they might have been playing hardball from the start, and I think this one could go to deadline day, to be honest, because Chelsea haven't got to replace him because they can't. So they could just wait till deadline day and get the best price possible.
I mean that's just such a big, I'd be fine if like our add-ons add up to 50, you know, if somehow we made it to Champions League or something like that, you know, those add-ons that made Richarlison's fee 50, you know what I mean, that kind of stuff, I'm cool if that happens. I would prefer not to purchase if the initial fee is over 50, but you know what? I am some bespectacled gray-haired man from North Carolina. No one really cares about it, you know what I mean? So I would prefer to get value somewhere else in a different way, but it's really hard to put price and a value on a player that's already Premier League proven, already proven in your system, with your team, with the same partner. That is worth money. And to be purchasing from another English club adds money onto it too, which is going to be our problem if for some reason we end up purchasing Zaha. You know, you're purchasing a player in his prime who is already proven in the league you're playing. You know, that tacks money on every single time. And it's another English club where everybody knows when you're selling to English club or when you're purchasing from an English club, it changes things when it comes to the values because the English clubs are rich. You know, the TV money is just bonkers. So, and that's probably what made the market do what it did, right? So,
I think it sort of depends on our budget as well, doesn't it, really? I mean, like, how much have we got to spend, you know what I mean? But I think we're in the minus right now, selling Guy and Luckman. But personally, if it went to 50 million, I'd probably pay it. Probably would. Yeah, but just because he's a perfect fit, and especially the second half of last season, he was brilliant, and he's just got a perfect partnership with Keane. It's not a risk, in my opinion. So,
gotta be honest, I balk at the idea personally of paying 50 million for him, just because. I mean, I'm not at the minute especially concerned by the prices of players because it's just so warped anyway. But it is a lot of money, that. But then, on the other hand, maybe this is the sort of point where the club decides, once this transfer window shuts and we've brought in this large amount of players, that's it. No more overhauls. This is our team, the core of our team, at least, going forward. Now, that's our, you know, for the most part, that's our team, and they're the players you identify with Everton, and then, you know, do what other clubs do, and each summer we'll add, like, you know, well, we've got this player who's retiring and we're going to replace him, or we need a little something extra, you know, in centre midfield, we need, you know, another attacker. I don't want to be going into next summer or the summer after needing another seven players, because we've done that. We obviously botched it very well. Actually, I'll take that back. We didn't actually botch it when Walsh and Koeman were in charge, because a lot of those players are still here or have been turned around quite quickly for profits. We didn't botch the recruitment in that sense, but we just bought all the wrong pieces first. So we bought all the, you know, no pace or anything like that. If we'd, you know, for example, we'd have got Bernard in that window and one or two other players, it might have been more balanced. But after this window shuts, I want to be able to turn around and go, right, that's the Everton team now, the Everton squad, the core 15 Everton players that people identify with. They're going to grow together, they're going to develop, and, you know, you're going to see them get better with each season, and, you know, you might see a new player here or there, and then that would be the only thing that would make me think, okay, let's pay big, big money and over the odds for Zuma, because if he's key to that, I don't want to be putting a bandage on, or I don't want to just sort of put like a holding player in there and then we go back for Zuma down the line anyway, because when you can just pay and get him now, that kind of thing. If he's the guy they see as, yeah, he's one of our centre-back partners or one of our three main centre-backs, and it's going to be like that for 5, 6, 7 years, you know, why not? Just get him. Just get the player, because right now there's no sense to be made out of market prices. Just look at the player in isolation. If your club are paying for it, then they obviously can afford it. So if he does cost 50 million, then Brands and Silver have made the decision to pay that for Zuma. Just focus on the player and what he brings. And if you boil it down to that, he's perfect. He's a perfect fit for the club. We've seen it already. That's the disadvantage of having loan players, unfortunately, that you see how perfect they are, but then you've got to go and buy them, and it doesn't even feel like a new player.
Well done, Terry, bringing in that talking point. It was, the segue was perfect. It was just skillful, man. The way you weaved that together, it felt like one would not know that Terry said, I really want to mention this somewhere. And it just perfectly lodged, perfectly. He's just a man with a craft. You know what I mean?
if I could just touch on what Terry said, to be honest, I totally agree with everything he said. But we could end up bringing like six players in. But two of them would be from last year. So it's sort of carrying on the team a little bit. And like Terry said, I don't want to bring six in again next year. So just keep it at one or two next summer, you know what I mean? But at least two of them are from last year that know the script, basically.
What I take from this is I take the fact that Mashiri, and this is where this goes back to Mashiri, he doesn't want to do that overhaul thing either because he's done it. He's seen the mistake, so he brings in Bronze. Bronze is the consistency. He's the through line. So if our manager leaves, we don't need an overhaul because we have a director of football. And our director of football is sitting there making sure, okay, if we bring in a manager, I want him to be a certain style to be able to play with the players we have. That's to prevent the need for that overhaul. You know, that right there, that is beautiful. It is a wonderful thing. So this way, you lose a manager, bring in a new manager, it's all cool. It's all right. The pieces are still there because Marcel Bronze. You know, that's what Walsh, I guess, was supposed to be early on, right?
When you look back at Walsh compared to this, well, I know we were all excited when Walsh was bringing these players in because that way Everton hadn't done that before, had they? But when you compare them to Brands, it's totally
one's just done the job before, and that's the real thing. I think Walsh is a pretty good scout. You know, not a pretty good scout. He's a good scout. He knows good players. He just wasn't so great at negotiation and convincing them to come. You know, and that's pretty damn important to that job, you know? So, oh, well, I mean, I wish him well. I was hoping he would stay in as a scout, but I don't know. It'd be a step backward. And I'm not sure if Bronze would want that kind of, mojo, like the guy that used to do your job working for you, that just usually doesn't work out very well.
The Man United, wasn't it? I couldn't believe it when I read that.
I did remember that. Totally forgot that. So really quick before we go, we need to mention the other player that's been mentioned. There have been links to, Tomori as well, right, from Chelsea. There was him, about him possibly coming in on loan. But it was very tenuous at best, the mentionings of that. Only a few links, and I don't know how serious they were. And they could have just been clutching at straws just because, well, they got a Chelsea back on loan last season. So it just seemed really, I don't know. But it's way bigger of a risk than Zuma. And then you mentioned Diego Llorente from Real Sociedad. And I don't even know if Diego Llorente is even the same kind of player as Zuma. I feel like he's not. You know, I find it interesting that we'd be trying to purchase a different player that's not the exact same style or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Again, I haven't seen much of Llorente, I've got to be honest. But like I said, put such back on before, what if he doesn't fit? You know what I mean? He might. I mean, I'm sure Brand's a scout. Adam scouted and stuff. But I just would prefer Zuma. But I haven't seen much of Llorente, to be honest with you. I don't watch Real Sociedad every week, to be honest.
Jordan, what's going on, man? we had talked earlier, and I thought you knew all about them. We wouldn't be paying the same amount. We wouldn't, because there would be way more risk. We'd be buying him from a non-English team. It just wouldn't cost the same. And if it did, I would highly question the move. But right now I just don't see Llorente as being like as legit. It's hard for me to see anybody but Zuma coming in at this point. Now that this is started back, I've reverted back to what I thought before. So I'm flippy flopper. just happening. That's what a buddy of mine who was from Finland used to call slides. I used to play on my university football team, Flippy Flopper. It was awesome. It's hard for me to call slides anything else now. Flippy Flopper. You know, it's just a badass Scandinavian accent. It's awesome. So, you got anything on your Llorente, Terry, or are you ready to go on?
Smells a bit like an we're in for Marcus Rojo type thing. You know,
forgot about just the out Rojo there to last year.
Sort of. Yeah, it probably isn't true. I think if we don't get Zuma, we'll just loan a player to cover the Mina and Keane, and just go back for Zuma when they've got their ban lifted and could probably get him. But for less money. No, I don't. I think if we were going to make a purchase other than Zuma, we'd have made it by now. I think it's Zuma or a loan to wait for Zuma. They want their player. They'll either get him now or go back for him.
All right. These guys have spoken. Yeah. They're willing to pay $100 million. All right. But yeah, I mean, for real, hashtag free Zuma. Make it happen. Let's go. Trending in on Liverpool Twitter at this moment. It's fantastic. I don't know who it was who started it, but it's just all over my timeline. It's nuts. So anyway, that's it for our center back transfer segment. Not really a lot of center backs mentioned. We just talked about Zuma, but we did it thoroughly. So just saying. So we're going to do a quick little update, just, you know, a stop the presses kind of thing. Guevarman, Jean-Philippe Guevarman. Am I saying that right? Is that close enough, Terry? Is that all right?
I think so. I've only seen it written down the way it's meant to be pronounced. So Guevarman is, I think, that'll do.
Yeah, Guevarman, Guevarman. Anyway, Ivory Coast International. From Mainz has been signed. You said he's number 25. Is that right, guys?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Number 25. Who was recently number 25? Anybody in recent memory number 25?
Ooh. I don't know.
I was trying to remember if Funes Mori was, but I...
Was Fellaini 25?
I don't remember.
He was. Fellaini was the last high-profile number 25. I always think 24 was Tim Howard. At 25, yeah, it was Fellaini because he... But then, like, on like Football Manager games, it said his preferred number was 27. But he could have had that at any time. He was at Everton and never took it. So I always questioned...
Not really preferred.
Yeah. But, I mean, what a strange number to prefer. Yeah. Well, Richarlison prefers 70, but he couldn't have it here. So I don't know. I've stopped trying to figure out squad numbers. But 25 was Fellaini, yeah.
I find it odd that our new defensive center mid is 25, especially somebody who might be getting some starting minutes, like a lot of them. Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting choice. Everton, redefining squad number philosophy for many years. yeah, so welcome, Terry. Terry, what's the... So I don't have to butcher his name. What did you hear people calling?
Jean-Philippe Guevarman.
And you said someone has given him a much easier to say nickname?
Oh, yeah. Someone was calling him JPG. I think it was on the Blue Room podcast. May have been Rob Vera. If it's not him, I apologize. Called him JPEG, basically, which is a lot easier to say than Guevarman, but... Whatever, whether he gets the Calvert-Lewin thing where he's, you know, DCL or JPG, I don't know, but Guevarman. So the beginning, like Guatemala, Vermin. I'm not sure.
JPEG. The problem is, I'm worried it's going to come across like Varmint, and so Guevarmint, you know. So yeah, it delves into Yosemite Sam in there at the end. I'm just worried I'm going to butcher it, so I may end up, you know, giving props to the Blue Room for saying JPG and just saying JPG, you know, and giving it a little credit there at the end. So, yeah, anyway, so he's in. If you watched any tape on the guy, he's very big fellow, quick, athletic, very adept is the word I'm looking for, at carrying the ball, moving the ball up the field. Can get the ball up the field in a hurry. I've seen videos where his passing looks and then I've seen videos where he looks pretty solid. So I guess we'll see what we get. I'm hoping it's the latter. But he's young. He's not super old. We're not talking about a 27-year-old player. What was he, 23? Okay, he's young. Yeah. So I'm psyched about the signing. I think everybody's been saying, hey, it's nice to – we've brought in like two players to replace Gay. You know what I mean? So that's what Gay's like. You know what I mean? Takes two dudes to fill his shoes. So anyway, that's our update on.
My apology as well. I was on record as saying I think that Delph was in fact Garner's replacement, and Marco told me, you know, just me and him when we went for a drink that time. He said, no, that's not the case. If Garner Gay goes, then we need to replace him as well. And I was like, will we though? It would be Fabian Delph. Not so.
Now you can't remember. You said, I think Marco Silva is a liar.
Yeah.
Not actually. He did not use that strong a language. I am totally kidding right now.
You're thinking words out at least. Like.
No, you did flat out say, eh. Yeah, I remember the eh. Yeah, it was.
I was wrong.
It was disbelief. So from now on, Marco Silva is honest with the media. That's a thing. So, welcome, welcome Jean-Philippe. Smash it, man. Please. excited to see him in blue. Let's move on to the next video segment. Preseason review. Yeah, it's been a heck of a preseason. A non-stop thrill ride. I mean, yeah, let me just go through some scores for those of you who've missed out on the adrenaline-soaked preseason of Everton. 1-1 draw with Kariobangi Sharks. Lost in a shootout. Yeah. Was it Sion?
Yeah.
Swiss? Yeah. Nil-nil. Draw. Hard stopping. 1-0 beat Monaco. Yeah? That was not bad. Nil-nil draw with Wigan, in which we brought a lot of supporters, which that's kind of cool. But they didn't really see any goals, did they? So there's that. 1-0 loss to Sevilla in a shortened match, and another loss to Mainz 3-1 in another shortened match, and we still got Werder Bremen coming up in the Klaassen. All right, Davy Klaassen. Let's see if Terry can get through this one, because he's been holding a torch for Davy Klaassen for a while. It's okay. That's the thing. I've actually watched a decent amount of Bundesliga last season, and I was actually hoping he'd do well. You know, I hate seeing somebody come to Everton and just, number one, be in awful circumstances, and number two, just kind of be chased out so quickly. It was, you know, but do I think we were right to sell him? Yeah, I do. I think he's, it's better for both player and team. So, but we've got them later. That's coming up soon. But who are the winners and losers of this preseason? Let's start with Terry. You can give me whatever you got, because let's be honest, anything we can draw from this preseason is a good thing. Anything we can learn. What do you got, Terry?
I think rather than the Klaassen Derby, I'd call it El Klaassen Co. You know, see what I did there? It's good there. Yeah.
Aha!
it's not been good on the eye, has it? Let's be honest. But I'm of the opinion that it doesn't have to be. It honestly, I would happily lose every single preseason friendly for the rest of time if we never got another preseason injury for the rest of time. As long as they come through each game without getting injured and fitness builds up, that's fine by me. It's not really, you know, nice if you're going to see these games, but that's Everton supporters for you. They'll go into probably deepest Congo if Everton are going to play a match there. Like, they follow them everywhere all over the world. I think there's not been very many standout winners of the preseason. That's not to say because, you know, nobody's impressed, but it's not been that kind of thing. It's not been, you know, oh, someone's turned the manager's head or someone's, you know, made such a point that you now don't need to buy a player in a certain position. I think the biggest winners for me were probably, I'm going to say Andre Gomes, because he has now been in pre-season from day one. He's played in every pre-season friendly. He's been training with the team. And rather than like last year where he was injured and had to come in very slowly and he only really got going in the latter part of the first bit of the season. And then obviously his fitness had issues throughout the season because he didn't have a pre-season. Now he's up to speed. He's in a full pre-season. He's in the engine room from the start. I think we'll see even more from him. I think he'll be even better for having had that. Another big winner, I don't want to take every player, but I think this is a really obvious one, is Lewis Gibson. I think when we went into the pre-season, there was, you know, obviously the title-winning under-23 team. And I think a lot of people thought, yeah, a lot of those players are either going to be loaned, the younger ones, that is, are going to be loaned to get some experience, and the players who are older and probably aren't going to feature in the team anyway, they'll be sold. We might not see anyone break through into the first team. There didn't seem to be anyone who stuck out. Josh Bowler was highly thought of, but he's gone on loan. And Gibson was another one who was seen as, you know, one of the ones to watch from that crop. But he's really impressed. He's been the one that I think everyone's come away from going, oh, he's actually a pretty competent, capable defender. We could actually use this player in a pinch in a senior game. And obviously he's not had it all his own way either. In the preseason, he gave away a penalty in one of the games. I'm not saying he's just come in and he's just romped it. Did he score a goal?
Yes, he did. Yes.
Yeah, so he's been, of the young players, the one who stood out for me the most as a potential future first teamer. And obviously Gomes, they're me two winners, losers. No one you didn't expect, you know, shock horror, Nias and Morales haven't done anything to convince us that they're going to feature. That's probably about it. Nobody had a particular, you know, you expected more from. Nobody, you know, touch wood, I'm very happy. Nobody got injured. Nobody had their pre-season cut short or anything like that. So far, a couple of winners, no losers, not anything outside of what we already knew.
All right. So now that Terry has listed pretty much the whole team.
Yeah. Took all my answers.
No, there are others. There are others. I just had to give him crap. You had a couple of the names that I did write down, though. So, Jordan, how about you, bud? Winners and losers from preseason.
Yeah, well, to agree with Terry on one point, is Andre Gomes. When we went on that 3-month dip last year, I did criticise Gomes quite a bit because I just thought, I don't know if he's trying or not, but maybe it was a bit of fitness or whatever because he was injured and he didn't have a pre-season. But I think this will do in the world of good. And the good games he does have, he's unplayable at times, you know what I mean? So hopefully he can remain that level of consistency with this pre-season. And I think he's played every game, is it? Gomez definitely a winner. I watched the Wigan game, and to be honest, I thought Tom Davis had a really good game that game. He was getting stuck in, he was popping the ball off and that, and then the Mainz game after, he could have played it through to Morales. Could have played it through, and he'd give it to Morales, and they went and scored straight away. So I was just like, come on, Tom. I think Coleman's been impressive. He's done all right. Nias and Morales are still playing for us. I just don't know. They haven't. In fact, they've gone worse from what I've seen. I mean, I don't know what Nias was doing in that. Was it the Sevilla game where he the big scorpion kick?
It was so bizarre. And I think Coleman ended up getting a header like right after that. Like, I don't remember, was that the Monaco goal? I'm trying to remember who it was against.
Monaco it was, yeah.
Yeah, it was bizarre. It was like scorpion kick where he's like jumping over players and then it ends up like right in front of the goal. Coleman just heads it in. So it's just so Nias because he's like chaos incarnate. He's so like low-key. You know what I mean? You throw him in there and stuff's going to happen. Could be good, could be bad, but something's happening.
I just don't know. Going in another season with him in the squad, it's just... I like the lad, I do, and he's probably a lovely lad, but it's just, it's not here. He's not going to make it, is he? At Everton. Good point by Terry on Gibson. I think he's looked solid at the back at times. A couple of little mistakes, but he's fitted in quite well. And the other player I've been impressed with, when he's only come on for little glimpses, is Anthony Gordon. I think he's played most of the second half in the Wigan game. I can't remember too much, but he looked all right there, to be honest, when he come on. Showed a bit of flair. And
I mean, how old is he, by the way?
Well, there's a lad at my school, actually went to school with him. I think he's 18. Don't quote me on that, but I think he is 18. And I think Dortmund were after him at one point. But yeah, what I've seen of him, he's done all right.
Yeah, we have confirmed that, after that short break, that Anthony Gordon is 18 years old. For some reason, I thought he was a little bit younger. Regardless, awesome, it's great minutes for him. These young players getting in there. I would actually additionally throw in Broadhead to somebody who's kind of won in the preseason, because he got first team minutes, a lot of them, because there weren't a whole lot of players playing that position that were in. So he got to play a lot, earned himself a new contract, and now he's out on loan at Burton, I think that was announced today. So that's a pretty solid preseason for him, because I think they were trying to figure some things out about some of these players. And I think if he had not impressed, they would have just sold him.
It's like Joe Williams, isn't it? I don't think he's done enough. I know he scored, but he's been sold, hasn't he?
Yeah, and that was one of the players. He's a player I like, but I it's hard not to say that he was on the bad end of the preseason, because I think he was doing well. I think he may have gotten injured, and that kind of put him out of some of the games, and then he's just out. And they decide they're going to sell him. I mean, he was somebody people were considering for possible minutes for first team this year. He was on my list as somebody who, I hesitate to say losers of the preseason. You know what I mean? But yeah, it wasn't the best. But it could be deep down he wanted a move. So
he probably wants. He's been on loan a few times. He wants to play football.
Yes, he does. I think that's totally right.
He's not exactly going to get a guarantee with Gomez and Delph and this new fella coming in.
Another player that I actually thought benefited is going to benefit from a larger preseason than last year is Bernard. He got like no preseason with us. Came in late in the game, and he had not played for a while. It had been a while. So I think that's actually the fact that he's played the preseason, he's gotten through unscathed. It's good, you know? I don't know who else, guys. I mean, I think we've... A lot of it, really, it's the players who've gotten to play. And it's been decisions. And if they've taken their opportunity, I think Lewis Gibson probably has gotten himself alone. And he's been made everybody else aware on the management's staff and everything that, hey, this kid is good. Keep him in mind for the future. Good call on Gibson. What do we feel like Feeney has grabbed his chances?
Not yet, but it's still, you know, not his only chance. He's very young, isn't he? Like, Feeney has got more time, I think, than a lot of other, you know, under 23 players, because he is so young. And, me personally, I think Feeney's big preseason would be next year rather than this one, because Gibson's obviously we brought Gibson in for a fee, and you know he's physically a lot bigger, and well, he seems a lot bigger anyway. And I don't think the pressure was on Feeney today. I think he's another year in the under 23s, and then or alone. Mm-hmm. I mean, ideally alone, but I've not heard anything about that yet. I think next time.
Okay.
Wasn't he one of the players that Unsworth said one of the five that mightn't be here? Because is that hinting at a loan? I'm sure he was one of them.
Yeah,
I mean, if he has, it would have to be a loan. I can't see saying, oh yeah, we're going to sell five players, and you know, because why would you do that?
I think he's hinting at loans for a couple of them as well. Like.
Yeah, I mean, Broadhead, Bowler, you know, them two are highly, you know, spoken of. If we can get Zuma, especially, who we know, you know, we know and we trust. I think Gibson will go on loan. I think we get a centre back from abroad. I think just for security, we might keep Gibson around. Mm. Not that he's, you know, going to be. Oh, he'll come in for an emergency, but you just don't know how an import's going to pan out. But if we get Zuma in, I can see Gibson going somewhere else, and I think Gibson could probably get a decent higher end Championship club. See how he gets on there. Yeah. You know, like, just got to find the right one. The same as Dowell has with Derby and Philip Cocu, because obviously historically we've sent some defenders in the under 23s, like Galloway and Browning, sent them to the wrong clubs for loans, and it's hampered them and it's hurt them more than it's helped them. So if we do send them out, I hope it's at a club where he's going to, you know, he's going to get a lot of the ball. He's going to, you know, all the things he'll need to have in his locker to succeed in
that. I get the vibe that that's one of the things they're really focusing on is some intelligently placed loans. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like putting them in positions where they're actually going to benefit. That's just something you can see the logic behind every loan when they place kids out now. You know, it's pretty great. Any other winners and losers? Because I feel like we've all mentioned some people.
If it was more exciting, I might be able to think of someone. But I think the real winners are the fans who've gone over there and watched it, to be honest.
Well, they at least got to hang out and, you know, get a little yeah. a little live action, even though it may not have been the most stunning live action. You know, I'm assuming an away day is an away day, especially when it's, you know, in Europe at a lot of these. I mean, heck, the first one was in Africa. So, yeah, it's yeah. just, wow.
I'd say winner's probably Marco Silva, because last year he was brand new to the club. There was loads of question marks over him because of his time at Watford, and you know, he had to figure out who the players were, who he was keeping, who he was losing. Whereas this time he's come in, he's fully established, he's got his feet under his desk, and he can just, you know, get going. Obviously he hasn't had all the players in that he'd like straight away, but he's got a lot more. This summer makes me feel a lot better than last summer, put it that way. I feel like all the pieces are in place and the cement is dry at the minute on the structure at the club, whereas last summer it was all very new. We were coming off a terrible season. You know, morale was down. This season, Marco Silva feels like, you know, I don't want to say it, but it's in such cliche terms, but he feels like the Everton manager now. He doesn't feel like last summer where it was like, okay, we'll see how this goes. I think this summer he's been one of the winners. So far, in that sense,
I gotta say I'm disappointed. We've only scored 3 goals this preseason, and we've beaten no one 21-0. And I think that is a lousy preseason. If we don't have at least one game where we're just battering another team by over 20 goals, then it's just not worth it, is it, guys? It's
there's still time. El Clasico.
quick.
Maybe tomorrow,
schedule yeah. a quick game with Erdning. I miss Erdning. It's they were good sports about that, though. Got to be honest, because those were not, most of those players were not full time footballers. I don't think any of those players were full time footballers, actually.
I think I remember the goalkeeper just letting Morales run past him at one point and just stood there leaning on the
yeah. That, you know, everybody knows about our right back Morales. It's all right. So yeah, that's your real message as to the unimportance of the preseason. Morales at right back. There's your message right there. So yeah, I'd say a lot of the players are winners though because of fitness, and that's why you say Silva is a good one. That does match. That does work. All right, guys. So I guess that wraps up our preseason review. We are, you know, attempting to mine the gold out of such a dirt-filled preseason. Just anything we can to try to pan for the gold. We're doing what we can. Anyway, and I would like to just go on record as saying, I do wish that watching the games were free for random dudes like me. And it would be nice. That would be cool. Without feeling like I have to break the law. That would be nice. it'd be great. YouTube link, you know? Anyway. All right. So I guess that's it for our preseason review. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, I stole this from wrestling. It's time for the... I said that and it totally blew my role. Now I got to redo it. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's time for If You Know Your History, the Everton-based quiz segment that pits Terry against Jordan in a Toffee's Cage match of wit and might. Okay, so this is Price is Right style. We're going to do it a little bit different. We're going to do it a little bit more like the actual Price is Right. I've been told by the higher-ups that we need to do that. So the way this is going to work is I'm going to tell these guys the name of a player. It's an Everton player from the past. All right, and so they will name a price. So if, say, I say, I don't know, Antoine Alcaraz, all right, and it's Jordan's turn to guess first, he says bag of crisps. All right, cool. then Terry will give his, and he'll say, I don't know, empty bag of crisps. Okay, so, and it turns out that both of them were wrong. Okay, but Terry was the one who was closest, basically, is the way this works. If you bid over, if you're the one to go over, then you do not win, basically. That's the way this works, okay? That's why we're going a little bit more like ye old Price is Right, okay? So yeah, I'm still slightly unclear on how this works, but it's going to be fine, you know? We're gonna get Ben to pump in some rockin' quiz music, and it's gonna be great. And Ben, if you want to do the Price is Right theme song, that's great. Maybe say something like, have an announcer saying, Jordan, come on down, and Terry, come on down, because, you know, that's what they do. And Terry will absolutely have to be wearing one of his fun party guy Hawaiian shirts, because they wear those on that show. With their big yellow name tags? Yeah, that's... Yeah. Because you have those fun party shirts, Terry. I have them too. Yeah.
The worst thing is, some people will assume you're joking, and I don't. I actually do.
Yeah. No, he legit does have the fun party guy shirts. That's because he's a fun party guy. I wear them, and I'm lame and boring, so it's just a big facade. all right, let's go do this. I have a coin here. It is not a real coin. It is a fake plastic coin. I'm showing these gentlemen heads and tails. It is a plastic 50-cent piece it looks like President Kennedy is on it. President Kennedy, yeah. So, Jordan, you are the guest. Call heads or tails in the air.
Heads.
It is heads. So, do you want to go first or second, Jordan?
I'll go first.
First.
If you don't mind.
Like ripping off a Band-Aid. Get it off early. All right, so we will, and we'll switch back and forth as we go, all right? I've been told by Toffee Blues John that it's the first to four wins, first to four correct. And, let's go. Rock that awesome music. Ben, and let's get this going. So, Jordan, Aaron Lennon.
6 million.
6 million is Jordan's bid. Terry.
4 million.
4 million. Actual retail price of Aaron Lennon is 4.5 million pounds from Spurs in 2015. Terry has already beaten his record from last match. See, he came in. He's got his game face on. Jordan, I'm sorry. It looks like Terry's been doing his homework, so we'll see.
Yeah. As soon as I said six, I went, it's four.
Hey, at least you've got the guts to be making guesses. I'm just Bob Barker with a tiny microphone. Terry, Onyekuru, and I'm only saying that because I'm not sure if it's Henri or Henry. So, Onyekuru, what's the price of that fellow?
8 million.
8 million, says Terry. Jordan.
7 million.
7 million. Actual retail price of Mr. Onyekuru from KAS Upin, I guess that's correct, in 2017. Seven million pounds. Jordan storms back. He's back in the lead. Terry having flashbacks last time. So, Jordan.
Yes.
We found out that money can buy you stones. Ha! awful. How much do we buy John Stones for?
$3 million.
$3 million. Terry.
$2.5 million.
$2.5 million. This is a tough one, guys, because it was $3 million. On the dot. So, John Stones, $3 million from Barnsley in 2013. Jordan's taking the lead, 2-1. Terry, strategery on that one. That was the smart bid, I thought, after he said three. But, you know, what can you do?
Now that there was no gamesmanship there, I genuinely thought I was going to get that bang on the nose of 2.5. I haven't had to resort to those tricks just yet. Each one I've said, even the wrong one.
See what I get for giving Terry credit. He just yanks it away from himself. No, don't be nice to me. All right, Terry, the bearded American keeper, Tim Howard.
It always is. $6 million.
$6 million, says Terry. Jordan.
I think it was 4.2.
So if I do this exactly the way Price is Right does, I am informing you both that you have both bid over the correct price. Both of you have bid over. So, let us go again. Terry, Tim Howard.
What was Jordan's other one, or the price?
4.2.
Four million.
Terry says 4 million with his new bid. Jordan, what do you got?
I'm going to go with 3.5.
And it is my duty to inform both of you that you have bid both bid over.
That was a bargain, wasn't it?
Less than 3.5 million. Are you sure?
This is what John Quizmaster John has put through to me. So Terry, let's bid again.
Ooh, 3, I guess.
Terry bids 3. Jordan.
I can't see it being less than 3. I'll go with 3.2.
Actual retail price of Tim Howard, $3 million from United, 2007. Terry ties it up. I think Jordan wanted to guess 3 as well, and this is the way it works when the person gets to go first. There's the advantage of getting to go first. If you're right, then you get that answer.
I honestly thought I was too low at 6. I thought, oh, it's going to be like 8 or 10. My word, that was as bargain, that, for $3 million.
You guys are making me doubt the accuracy of these numbers now. I'd say. All right, so, Jordan.
Yes.
James Beattie. That's bad.
I'm going to go with... 8 million.
8 million from Jordan. Terrence.
6 million.
6 million. Actual retail price of James Beattie from Southampton, 2005. 6 million. It is 3-2 now. Terry is in the lead. We've got ourselves a little rivalry here, guys. So, it could all hinge. You ready for this, Terry? This is who it could hinge on. My guy, Gay. It all hinges on McGuy Gay for Terry. I'm not sure if anybody's uttered that statement for a while. McGuy Gay.
1.5 million.
1.5 million, says Terry. Jordan.
I'm going to say 1.5. I'll go with 1.
1. Actual retail price of McGuy Gay from Strasbourg, 2010, 1 million. 1 million. We are tied 3-3. Gentlemen, this next one will do it. Although I do have more on the list, it looks like this is the one. Jordan, Aruna Kone.
$5 million,
says Jordan. Terry, for the win. Aruna Kone.
$6 million.
$6 million. For those of you listening on podcast, you couldn't see the incredible doubt with which Terry put forth that answer. He was wincing with one eye, like, hey, I don't want to do this.
Wasn't the price. I just had to remember that Aruna Kone once played for us. I'm pretty confident. I remember because I was really, really upset by it at the time. I think it is $6 million.
It is, in fact, $6 million from Wigan, 2013. Aruna Kone, one of Roberto's golden boys that didn't quite pay off. But that does give Terry the win, 4-3. Jordan, that was well played for your first quiz, man. That was solid. Good stuff. Very well done. Terry,
well done.
Congratulations on your comeback. The road to redemption. So the prize, Terry's prize, is he gets to pick the track that we close out the show. To which we close the show. Yeah, trying to get this right. Don't end it with a preposition. Terry, what are you gonna go with? You need to take 15 minutes with your Spotify.
Yeah, about that. I'll have a little look.
You gotta play Ben. If you could put in "Girl from Ipanema" while we're waiting. It's coming. Terry's about to lay down the judgment.
I've not got a good reason, so I'm going to have to wing that. But Numb and Encore by Linkin Park and Jay-Z.
Numb and what?
Encore.
Numb and Encore?
Numb/Encore.
Are those two different songs, or is it literally Numb/? Are they?
Yeah, it's a collaboration. They're two separate songs. They mash them together, and it comes out really good.
Yeah, it's a good song.
Really?
I'm a huge, huge, huge Linkin Park fan. Always have been. And that, I could have picked any Linkin Park song, but I picked the Crowd Pleaser, really, because that was probably the most universally liked song, you know, because it's got Jay-Z on it, and it's, you know, it's quite, you know, radio friendly. And
what the hell is wrong with me? How do I miss this song? I'm gonna hear it and be like, oh, that one. I don't know it by name. I'm like, gosh, I mean, should I be talking about how we went to school barefoot in the snow, you know, and these kids today, I don't know this. I know Linkin Park, I know Jay-Z. I didn't know they had a baby together.
They brought an album out, didn't they?
Yeah, a little mini mashup album, and they, but unfortunately, Jerry, when you went to school, they didn't teach history.
No, they didn't. You know? They didn't.
I bet, what happened, Jeff?
What are you going to tell me? Like a... Tool did an album later with Coolio, and there's some crazy mashup with those two. Yes, they mix prison sex and Fantastic Voyage. You know, it's
that's your next stage. You'll fuck out that band and Coolio. I've got to escape from an island.
Oh,
gotta settle it. to come together to lay out of his game.
So I'm going to have to listen to this because I usually trust you guys' taste in music. So I'm going to have to check this out because I am aware of a decent amount of Linkin Park songs because they used to come on the radio all the time here. They still do on our like alternative channel if you still call it alternative music, which I don't know if people...
Do people still do that? I don't even know.
So it's, yeah. But anyway, Linkin Park, Jay-Z, Numb, Encore, mashed together to make a thick goo that Terry likes. That's the grossest way I could say that, I think. Yes. Yeah, nice. Thick goo. All right, so as we're soothed by the soothing tones of Linkin Park and Jay-Z, it's time to end the Toffee Blues podcast. If you're not subscribing to the Toffee Blues podcast, you know, it's just the click of a finger or a button, and it's like the easiest. It's not the easiest thing in the world, but it's so close. It's on the list of easiest things you can do. Check that out. Yeah, and really, you just so you can be updated when the new pods come out. If you're like, wow, Jordan sounds awesome, I want to see all the games and Blu-rays that he has on his shelves that are behind him, hey, check out the YouTube channel and you can see. You know, it's just every musical you can imagine. It's all of them. He's got four different versions of, you know, Sound of Music. You know, it's, yeah, advanced copies of Cats. You know, looks awful.
Did you see the Photoshop someone done where they said Cats, but it's every character is played by Nick Offerman, who plays Ron Swanson.
I've not seen that.
I need to send you that. They've just Photoshopped all the, you know, stills from the trailer of the new Cats movie, and it's just him with his mustache on every single cat. It's amazing. I'd watch that. I probably won't see the new Cats film, but I'd watch it if we had a Ron Swanson version.
I absolutely cannot believe they made them the size of cats. Of actual cats.
It looks so strange.
What are they doing? It's so creepy. Oh my God. Anyway, back to wrapping the show. So anyway, you can see all of Jordan's Blu-rays if you check out the YouTube channel. Yes, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Just hit 2,200 subs. So thanks for that. We're really starting to get cooking over there. It's kind of awesome. A lot of people have come on board, like Jordan, you know, new folks have come on board and they're contributing a lot. It's awesome. It's just giving us more voices, more input, more ways of connecting with people, and it's awesome. Anyway, there's that. If you want more Terry, check out the Liverpool Echo Fan Jury when it begins. When the season starts, they're going to start getting some Terry knowledge on there, and we're all the better for it. He told me to say that.
I've got an article coming this week for the website as well, so stay tuned for that.
You have an article coming for Toffee Blues?
Yeah.
Toffee Blues website. Jordan has an Everton article. What's it on this time?
It's on the potential transfer of Zaha.
Ah.
And why I think he'd be good to sign him.
All right. Well, I'm going to get my 7-year-old to read it because he agrees with you. And he's been absolutely flipping his shit when I told him Zaha was an option. So yeah, he's the only Palace player my kid knows. So yeah, we'll be checking that out for sure. So everybody check that out. It also, there's a lot of Everton content just on the Toffee Blues website. If you haven't checked that out, you know, that's why not? Right. There's a lot of good stuff there with some key contributors on there. Yeah, and also follow the Toffee Blues on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can follow all of us on Twitter if you check out our details below. If you want to send us a message, just say hi, hello, you know, we're good with that. So I guess that's it, guys. Jordan, great first show, man. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me
on.
Enjoy
that. It's our pleasure, bud. Yeah. Terry, as usual, sir, it is a pleasure to bask in your glow. Mm-hmm.
Pleasure as always, guys. Thanks for having me.
Right on.
Thank you.
Right on, guys. So y'all take care, and I guess we'll see. Season's creeping up, transfer window's creeping up. Fingers crossed. Marcel's got it. All right. So from all the Toffee Blues guys, we're going to say bye now. So, bye.